This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, thanks again to Eno Saris from The Athletic, his weekly Smart Baseball segment. Didn't get to one topic that he wrote about this week. He had the top 10 nastiest AAA starting pitchers, guys who could be called up by their teams. Jonah Tong, who's coming up for the Mets tomorrow, was, I think, number one on his list. Bubba Chandler just got called up by the Pirates, is on that list. I was almost surprised and relieved to see that only one former A.J. Preller prospect was on that list of the top 10 nastiest AAA pitchers in baseball right now. I was a little surprised by who it was. Robbie Snelling has had a really good minor league season in the Miami Marlins system. He has increased his stuff by quite a bit, and he's now turned himself into one of the more intriguing prospects. Of course, he was part of the Tanner Scott trade last year that the Padres rented a reliever for the stretch and the postseason run. That was true rental. And at the time, Robbie Snelling wasn't necessarily looking great, but he has actually turned things around this year and is having a pretty good season in the minor leagues.
Harlan Susana, was he on there? I don't think he's a starter.
I did not see him on there. I don't know if he's had enough time in AAA necessarily.
I just watched a performance from him the other day.
He was in the Soto deal.
And he struck out 10. He looked filthy. And I'm like, yep, all right. I mean, again, I'm not going to cry over any of that spilled milk.
But people are very excited about the prospect that the Padres got.
Yes.
In the Nestor Cortez Brandon Lockridge trade?
Feels like a total.
Jose Quintana?
Yes. Total fleecing. Fleecing by A.J. Preller. I'm seeing more reviews on this guy every single day. The glove is really, really good, can hit, is fast, like the whole thing.
But give the Brewers credit. They're going for it. They knew they didn't need Cortez. They needed some speed coming off the bench. They needed an outfielder. He scored the winning run 2 days ago on a sac fly.
Brandon Lockridge is
actually helping the Milwaukee Brewers with whatever magic's going on. Give Pat Murphy credit. He's created a good atmosphere. They wrote about it today, ESPN.com. I think it was it Passano? Jesse Rogers wrote about it. He says, "Welcome to Milwaukee Community College." And that is essentially how their clubhouse is treating. Hey, we're just a fun community college, club.
Yeah, we're JUCO.
Scrappy coming in, and, they've taken the baseball world by storm this season. When everyone was pretty much expecting second, third, fourth place finish by the Brewers this year, they have been, with a bullet, the number one team in baseball now for the second half of the season, and doesn't look like that's going to change anytime soon.
Yeah, that prospect, he's playing in low A Lake Elsinore. It's Jorge Quintana, Benny, and a lot of good reviews about him. I got a text earlier from our pal John Conniff from Mad Friars, who watched Cash Mayfield last night, said he looked really, really good. No earned runs for single A Lake Elsinore last night as well. Has had a really good season. So they're still, we're dead last in farm system right now, number 30. I'm not worried about it. I never do, because I know who's at the helm. It will be replenished. Now, will it get traded again? Probably. But it will be replenished. And if you win a World Series, nobody cares.
But it does add to the pressure here of coming through down the stretch with everything that you've poured now into this season as well. You'd like to take advantage of it. You've put yourself together a pretty good roster now.
You have.
For the rest of the way. I look at the lineup that the Padres put out yesterday, even without Luis Arraez, and I go, this can beat anybody.
Sure.
And they didn't have a great game, and they still almost beat a really good Seattle Mariners team on the road. They put together some good at-bats. At the end of the game, like Gavin Sheets, another great at-bat. And we'll talk about it in the roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. When Jackson Merrill comes off the injured list, maybe this weekend, Saturday, I think he's eligible. He's doing some baseball activities. What does Mike Shildt do with his lineup? Who sits? Because I don't think you can sit Gavin Sheets right now. Are you looking at me like your sweet kid?
I am your sweet kid.
Gavin Sheets goes right back to the bench?
That's my guess. It's my guess. Unless somebody's hurt or banged up or whatever.
The point of the exercise is no one's hurt anymore.
And everyone's healthy and ready to go.
Can you really just sit Gavin Sheets again? He's putting together some of your best at-bats right now.
How do you take him out? You know, how do you take him out?
But how do you leave
Jackson
Merrill out?
It's not like the rest of the team slugging the crap out of the ball. Right. He should be... Said it a couple times now this week. He should be in that same group right now
of
with
Manning,
the everyday.
Yep,
you're getting it. Doesn't we don't care about lefty righty. Like yeah. You are gonna get you four at bats.
You have to have him in the lineup. I really think you do. The quality of ABs too. It's not just the home run potential.
So you could sit Jackson Merrill, play him in left, and Laureano in center. You could sit Ryan O'Hearn, but you acquired him to be part of your lineup most days.
An all star. Yep.
You could sit Luis Arraez, which I know a lot of people would like to see happen more often, but I really don't see Mike Schilt, other than a day here or there like yesterday, seriously even considering sitting Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
He feels like if they're going to win a World Series, and I agree, by the way, I agree with this take. If the Padres are going to win a World Series, probably requires Luis Arraez in your lineup hitting like 400, like
yeah,
he can do.
No doubt.
It's not him sitting on the bench coming in for a
pinch hit appearance.
An iffy pinch hitting appearance like he did yesterday. That's
yep,
not the best way to use Luis Arraez necessarily. So he wants to get him going. He wants him to be Luis Arraez because that's the best way that the Padres win a World Series is Luis Arraez being the Luis Arraez that he was in the past. Is he still in there? I don't know. We haven't really seen it this year. It's been all season.
I mean, look,
he's just not the same guy this year.
The best lineup that you could put out there would probably have O'Hearn, and this is offense and defense, would have O'Hearn at first, Crony at second, Xander at short, Manny at third, Fermin behind the dish. Merrill in center, and Tatis in right, and that is the odd man out is Gavin Sheets, unfortunately, but I don't know how you do it.
Or Luis Arraez.
No, I didn't even put Arraez. And your DH is Gavin Sheets.
Your DH is one of the two.
Yeah, your DH is Gavin Sheets. Gavin Sheets.
And I'll acknowledge what Mike Schilt said. Luis Arraez has played good defense, especially the second half of the season. Is it better than Ryan O'Hearn? Metrically,
no.
Ryan O'Hearn's a very good defender at first base.
But what about the internal metrics that we aren't privy to?
I know that the internal and external metrics say that Ryan O'Hearn is taller than Luis Arraez.
That is true.
Which is usually helpful for a
better target.
If the Padres' internal metrics say that Luis Arraez is taller than Ryan O'Hearn,
yeah,
I think they've got something wrong with their internal metrics.
It's like you might think I'm nuts.
It's like the college kid that they're like, the basketball player, yeah, and they're like, he's checking in at 6'1". You're like, that dude's 5'8". I don't know what you're talking about.
There's just nothing you can change about that. If a throw goes high... They try not to, but if throw goes high, Ryan O'Hearn's going to have a better chance of pulling it down than Luis Arraez does.
Very true. Very, very true. I've seen some really short kids that could pick it like nobody's business, mm-hmm, and I always tell them, you're not playing first. A, I need you here, but you're 3 feet tall. Your buddies are 4.5 feet right now. Like, you're 3 feet tall. There's nothing we can do about it.
Smaller target over there.
Smaller target.
I think ultimately, and we'll see what the other guys have to say in the roundtable, the correct answer is some sort of, you know, rotating system.
Hybrid.
Where everybody plays 80% of the time and everyone sits out 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Against, you know, specific matchups. You're going to have to go deep into the numbers like, hey, this guy has struggled against let's give him this day off. And tomorrow, this guy has struggled in the past against this pitcher. Let's give him this day off and really play some kind of intricate matchups as you're trying to decide who your best lineups are on a given everyday basis of which left-handers you're going to have in there every single day, because you can't play them all, even against righties. You really can't play them all.
Here's what Adam, you had like a kind of a Dr. Evil. Here's what we'll do. We will rotate. The players will call it a platoon.
Yeah, it's not really. They're all lefties.
They're all lefties.
It's not really a platoon.
It's not a true platoon.
About the lefties.
Substitution. We'll call it a rest day. Yeah, at this point, again, you know, we always say it, a good problem to have, certainly, but it's still an issue because you throw out a lineup without Gavin Sheets in it, who's swinging it well, putting together great ABs, and you lose, and everyone goes, oh.
But when you get to the postseason,
oh, God,
rarely do managers, they go with set 10 guys, or, you know, nine guys. Yeah, in your lineup. You don't... Then
you
decide,
don't really
all right, Padres, you've got each one day off to stay nice and fresh. Everyone's going, you can't take me out in the playoffs. You're going to have to make a decision at some point as to what your nine-man lineup is, because I don't think Mike Schilt changes it. I think the lineup you see, and maybe a little lefty-righty a little bit, but the lineup against a righty is probably going to be the same in the playoffs every single day.
We'll call it load management. Somebody had asked me earlier, they said, why did he stack the lineup with righties against Brian Wu yesterday, giving Luis Ariza a day off, Laureano into the two as a righty?
Just Iglesias
so
in there.
And Iglesias. So I looked at the splits against Brian Wu, and I went, all right, makes sense to me, because left-handed hitters, Ben, hit 208 off of Brian Wu. Right-handed hitters hit 206.
He gave up. He gave up 2/1000th of a percentage point in platoon matchups there.
I thought we were trying to win on the margins here. You know? What happened to not giving it away? This is all tongue-in-cheek, everyone. Just so you know. But, yeah, very interesting conversations to be had. And there's something in the roundtable I want you to bring up that Eno
Please.
Said. We ran out of time. He wants chaos. And in order to have chaos, you have to have a manager who is comfortable with chaos. Is Mike Schilt a manager who's comfortable with chaos? AJ Hinch, Kevin Cash, the more chaotic, the better. And honestly, Dave Roberts, to an extent, Ben, I think is more comfortable with chaos than Mike Schilt, you know? And so that would be, we are now going to be asking our manager to step outside of his comfort zone. Is that the best way to go and win a World Series? It might be, because what did Major say? When you stop ripening, you die. Like you start rotting. You start rotting, and you don't grow. Now may be the time to start exploring. Like, let's get chaotic. Let's get weird. Let the chips fall where they may.
If you're going to experiment, I'd rather do it now.
I would too. But the chaos theory that you're going to ask, by self-admitted, an old school manager to go be like, hey, I need you to go conduct this chaotic symphony, even though you've never really done it. Are you comfortable with that? That would be like saying to Xander, hey, I need you in left field tonight. I know it's weird. I know it's chaotic. I have my reasons. Can you go play left at the big league level? And he's like, I'm your shortstop. So are you going to ask Mike Schilt to compose something
he's not
comfortable?
The Dodgers have done this for years.
Correct, but they have experience doing
it. It's almost... they get away with it. Moving Mookie around, as they have done, has not been good for Mookie Betts.
Well, he's playing great now.
Right now, but...
and he's an elite shortstop now.
He's had a bad season, though.
No, he has not. He's better. Go look at his numbers now.
He's having a good second half.
He's way better.
He was terrible in the first
half.
And a lot of people think it was because of the position change.
Well, he also had, like, diarrhea and lost 20 pounds the day before the season started. But this is such a good point by Legend Gurley in the chat. If Schilt asks his team to be elite adjusters, he should also be an elite adjuster.
Ooh, I like that.
I don't know Legend Gurley. First time I've ever seen her in the chat. That's a really salient and brilliant point. But yeah, man, to ask somebody to now be a tactician in a different way, is that the smartest thing to do? We'll see. But I'm all about it, man. I think it's probably the best chance that you have of winning.
You brought up Kevin Cash, manager of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes.
And I'd been thinking about him this week because he took a ton of grief years for pulling Blake Snell out of that World Series game.
I absolutely skewered him the next day. I skewered him.
Yeah.
We all did.
He lost his sense of Snell.
Yeah. Yes! Remember that? He lost his sense of Snell.
It broke me on that one.
That's where that came from.
That was really good. But in hindsight... now, of course, they lost that game.
Right.
We'd love to do it differently. Whatever. As we approach Dylan Cease in this postseason, you feel like we're heading toward potentially a Kevin Cash-esque moment. Dylan Cease dominating for four innings in a postseason game. Will Mike Schilt get skewered for taking him out of a game when we all now feel like that's probably the right thing to do? And the Tampa Bay Rays felt like... and we got to know Blake Snell enough over the last couple of years. He was probably right.
After seeing Blake Snell pitch here.
The process, it didn't work out. But the process that they used was
right.
Probably right.
Yeah, man.
After all these years, I'm coming to the fact that it didn't work out for them, but the process was good.
I know.
To take out Blake Snell. And the process will likely be good to take out Dylan Cease if he throws three or four good innings. You just go... we're not risking anymore, as the Tampa Bay Rays tried to do against the Dodgers.
Can you, as the skipper, defend that based on the year that he's had? I think the answer is unequivocally
and
yes.
And I'm sure the Rays could have as well with Blake Snell.
I know. It just
didn't end, you know, didn't stop the critics from coming to eat Kevin Cash alive.
Losing a World Series game because you pulled your starter and had the right process that you had already known, this is the process I'm going to stick with. And as it has turned out over time, it was the right process. The result wasn't right. It's like a hitter. My process is good. My results are terrible. But I have to stay with my process. I can't now open up. I can't now close up and hit like Giancarlo Stanton. I have to trust my process and know that the hits will come. If Mike Schilt can sleep at night saying, no, that was exactly what we got. We needed. We got exactly what we needed from Dylan Cease. I can live with that because I've watched Dylan Cease pitch this year.
And just to bring this around to the third issue facing the Padres, Xander Bogaerts turned his season around because he went with process over results.
Correct.
He said, you know what? I'm not going to tinker anymore. The balls aren't falling in, but if I keep doing this, it's the right thing. Luis Arraez, I'm not sure is doing the right process.
I don't think his process is.
I don't know that his process is correct.
We're taking almost like two strikes and AB heaters down the middle.
His talent is unquestioned.
Somebody made the point yesterday, and I love this. I wanted to bring it up today. If you are to be considered an elite hitter, shouldn't you also be an elite knower of the zone? If you're an elite hitter, really elite hitters know, I'm not offering at that pitch because Juan Soto is an elite hitter because he didn't. And it drove people here crazy that he did not swing at that ball on the outer third away that he knew he couldn't
do
damage with.
There's some outliers like Vlad Guerrero Sr., you know,
right.
Could hit anything,
could
anywhere.
Could hit anything, with anywhere
power,
with so pop. Just, right?
Ichiro.
Yeah. But really, if you are a elite hitter, shouldn't you have an elite knowledge of the zone? And that stuck with me all day yesterday as I thought about, yeah, I mean, and again, if you're getting knocks on those, fine.
What Arraez does sometimes. He has some of the most amazing hits on balls that are 3 feet off the plate.
Not as many as he used to. So the process, sticking to that process of swinging at pitches at your ankles or pitches way up and away and lightly flying them to left field is just not the right process, I don't think.
KG in the chat says, guys, this is a lot of sports talk. I tune in for goofy games and pop culture reports.
Thank you. You got it.
You're
right. Thanks for bringing us back.
We apologize, KG. We'll come back.
You know what? Then I'm going to just, real quick, it's a throwback Thursday. I'm going to bless the audience with a little bit of Breaking Ben. It wasn't even this week, because we
bless
just talked
mood,
about it.
Yeah.
Is this Snell?
It's still one of my favorite Breaking Bens in the history of this show.
As Justin Turner tested positive and probably spread it to Kevin Cash, who lost his sense of Snell. It was COVID. I broke myself.
Sense of Snell.
I had somebody's tweet, and it killed him.
So we got 2 more hours to go.
I am so jealous that I didn't think that.
Look at this guy.
Look at him.
Sense of Snell. I've never seen this.
I'm sorry. That is every time I read.
Holy hell!
Let him go. It's like the first one. This was the drool.
Yeah.
This is when the drool came. He's like,
you'll hear it. You'll hear it here. You can like hear him. He's like choking. Oh my god.
You don't think it's as sweet as I do? His sense of smell.
This is the greatest radio we've ever done. That really was. Break right there, I think, will live in infamy.
And it has.
Oh, man.
No, I don't think that's funny. So good. Nothing's changed.
All right. Speaking of Throwback Thursday, Paulie's got a clip from the early days of Ben and Woods and then a Ronda report when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But first,
Trust and Will.
Trust and Will.
Woodsy and I love to tell you about Trust and Will. It's such great peace of mind knowing we've taken care of our estate planning documents when we hadn't. For the first 49 years of our lives, we had just gone merrily along that if something had happened to us...
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck, fam. We have done nothing to prepare you for what happens next, but you can without the hassle of going to a lawyer's office, without much expense at all, and without much. You can prepare legal, binding estate documents, a will, or a trust to take care of your family after you're gone.
And they make it so easy to do so. Look, everything's online these days, so they're no different. And totally legit, above board. It's phenomenal. Get a trust, as Dominic says, every day. Keep your fam out of probate court. Very expensive. Very, very difficult to navigate. But go to trustandwill.com. Fill it all out. They'll guide you along, hold your hand through the process, and then when you check out, use the code FAN, F-A-N, and you'll get 20% off.
You can get detailed if you want. You can keep it real simple, but it's easy. It's no harder than an online survey,
that's
essentially.
Right.
You're just answering some questions, then they put it all together for you, mail it out to you, and then you put it in your safe or a filing cabinet somewhere and forget about it until you hopefully don't need it for a long time. But you have it, and you have that peace of mind by going to trustandwill.com, using code FAN at checkout to get 20% off at trustandwill.com. We got a roundtable coming up at 10 o'clock, a fifth bonus hour of Ben Woods and Paul. We'll head over to the sound space, be joined by Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, and Braden Suprenant. And we'll talk some more Padres baseball from 10 to 11, commercial-free, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Nativa Interiors. This Labor Day weekend, two iconic design companies are joining forces for a warehouse sale. Join Nativa Interiors and hold a contemporary home in Miramar for huge discounts on living, dining, bedroom, and outdoor furnishings. Call or text for more details at 619-215-6893.
Did you see this? Orthodox Evans in the chat said he's listening to the show while he's hanging drywall in a two-bedroom apartment. By the way, you guys, I know you get a kick out of that stuff. I don't know why he didn't come to us for any drywalling tips or advice.
I hung drywall one time.
You did?
You did?
You've done it?
Oh, yeah. It's very heavy.
Why do they call it hanging drywall?
Yeah, how do you hang it?
You start at the top and it like just drops.
You have
the framing, right?
The framing is done.
The framing of the wood.
Well, you've
done
it.
And then you like tack it onto the wood, or how does it even attach? I don't know.
It's got hooks. That's why they call it hanging. No, I'm joking. He looked at me like, really?
Oh,
like,
that makes sense.
Like Christmas ornaments.
All right, get it up. Oh, you missed one hole. No, I have no idea. Your roof just
clicks right in?
Yeah, it clicks right in like magnet tiles. Do you screw it or you nail it?
Glue
screws.
It?
Hold it up with one hand.
Hold it
up with one hand while you put screws in it. I think I could do that. I'd like to try.
Well, if Orthodox can arrange for that, we will...
Screws. I should tell my wife, let me redo the bathroom. Let's see how long it takes.
Real men like that start work at like 4 a.m., so you could literally, like, on your way in, go try to hang a drywall.
Is sheetrocking the same thing as drywall? Somebody said sheetrocking is tough work. Is it not?
Doesn't sound like it.
Ben, I'm dying. How does it even attach? Three guys that have nary done a hard day's labor. Right. I've done a little bit, and it was for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've done none at all.
Literally. Oh, and like, I mean, I mowed the grass and stuff. Sheetrock.
How do you know where the studs are? I've never, other than having a stud, because like a handyman will come over, he can just like knock on the, and
have you never
and
done
he
that?
Figures it out.
I know how to hear the echo. And
I know how to find a stud, but I can't knock on it and do it. Yeah. You can do it?
And find it.
Without with the stud finder.
No, without a stud finder.
Yeah, of course. Paul, you can listen and do it. Paulie's the guy that opens the safe by listening to the clicks.
Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
No, I remember like being able to kind of identify. You're like, all right, I think it's like right here. And then, like in college, one of my buddies had a stud finder, and we were like, all right,
oh, it's like a fun game.
Let's see who's closest.
Yeah, in woods. Yeah, to see who can get closest.
You know, come home after pint night or something. And
if you want, like when you're hanging like pictures, you don't want them in the studs, or you do want them in the studs. I've never totally understood.
You want to drill into the stud.
Yeah, you want to.
If you're like hanging some art or something,
yeah,
you don't want it into the drywall.
Want it into the drywall.
Because then there's no reinforcement.
That's why you find the stud to hang it into
the... You do want the stud.
You do want the stud.
Okay.
You don't want to avoid the stud if you're going to be hanging something, you know, art or something like that. All of your art that you have.
All right, Paulie's kind of carrying us the rest of the way. First with a throwback Thursday clip, and then we got the Rondo Report in our final segment. But let's get to what you have pulled back from the Ben and Woods archives.
Man, this was crazy. This was today, 7 years ago today.
August 28th, 2018.
Yeah, which would have been just 5 months in. And I've always said, when I think about our show, I think 6 months in is kind of when things started to click for us. But really, about a year in is when we're like, you know what? We got something good going here. And then we've just grown ever since. But this was about 5 months in, and it was just one of those things where in traditional sports radio formats that at least Ben and I had been doing before Ben and Woods started, this would be something that you just completely ignore. You don't even draw attention to it. Of course, that's not how we do things. Woods heard a stomach noise from the old our station's program director, Joe, back at the time, and Woods lost his ever-loving mind.
He's really no worse than many of the other players on that team.
You just
singled him out as,
I ask
as
you,
kind of the poster boy for the Padres' lack of success.
I ask you, is it irrational? Is it irrational? What was that, by the way?
That was my body. I'm sorry. I didn't burp.
Paul, can you?
I need to eat.
Paul,
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna need that. I need that.
I need to eat.
I need that forever. No, I completely lost my train of thought as Joe's
Carlos, as Joe's
guts. I knew it was a swahe. Gurgled to the top. I just died.
You can tell. Joe is old school sports. Old school as it gets. And you can tell he was very uncomfortable with the stop down. Ben, probably a little bit to that point.
At that time, yes.
Yeah, very uncomfortable. Like, no, let's keep plowing through with our assessment of
Carlos
Suárez.
He was more comfortable than Ben.
Joe was?
With us do off the rails laughter. And
was he?
A little bit. Yeah. It was tough for me back then.
That was totally fun.
So do we like this?
Yes! One more time.
You jerks.
This is the greatest.
That was the best moment for the first 6 months. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
It also was the start of Paulie's ability to quickly pull something, turn it around, and make it funny.
So good. I liked drywall.
Still don't understand how his. I've had a couple of noises, but not that deep. That was such a deep, like a frog or like a croak.
I like this drywall talk, though. We're getting a lot of people weighing in on drywall. It'd be a fun project for us to do. Build something. Ben and Woods, build something. We should do a contest where we build something and let the tier ones judge who does it best. Imagine building a birdhouse, right? Like, imagine how bad the birdhouses would actually be.
I haven't built anything in a while, but I have been assembling a lot of new furniture, and that makes you feel, when you're like somebody like us with our experience, you feel accomplished when you put together. I followed these instructions and put together this end table.
Yeah, Christmas was pretty big for me. I put several of the kids' toys together. Yeah.
We'll start with assembly, then on to construction.
Construction.
Then we can rebuild engines. Ooh. And then we just get on to like oil drilling.
Well, roughnecks out on the ocean.
How about a fishing boat? Right.
I was texting with my cousin yesterday.
Deadliest catch in the woods.
My cousin up in Washington. He was at the game yesterday. You know, little S talking. I'm like, I didn't. You don't even watch baseball. Stop. And but he's an electrician, and I always thought that
I hate shocks.
He struggled in high school. He did not go to college, but he learned this trade, and he had an apprenticeship, and now he runs his own electrician company, and he's making bank up in Washington. And that's always one where I'm like, man, he would have stories like, got commissioned by the airport. Like, they had some electric issues, and I was there at 3 a.m., and, you know, we got it all figured out. And I'm like, that's where some good money is right there.
Well, it's also like the scariest job on the planet. Like, being an electrician would be really, really scary. I don't like to be shocked.
To not know what's coming.
I hate even a static shock, like from the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
A live wire,
touching
terrifying.
The thing, forget it.
Absolutely terrifying.
I got nothing. I got no business doing. That's why I'll keep those guys in business. I will call you every time. I will never try to do it myself. Rewire something? Never. I saw a guy on Instagram. Oh, I got to rewire the bathroom. I'm like, rewire? there's no chance. No chance I would even attempt it. I bet there's some horror stories out there. I don't know about grounding and all. Like, I just would, I'd wear it every day. It would be terrifying.
If it weren't for, you know, handymen, I'd just throw my house away after like 4 years.
just have to get a new one. No question. No question. All right. We're running late.
We got to take a timeout. Paulie's got some Rindle Report headlines for us coming up next. That's the final segment of Bennett Woods right after this on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Padres baseball today.
They would be back tomorrow at 5:10 against the Minnesota Twins, who I think, what are they, traded like 10 players out of their lineup and pitching rotation and bullpen at the trade deadline. But they still have some good dangerous players. That Matt Wallner, hit a 3-run home run yesterday, has been one of the more dangerous batters in baseball here in the second half of the season. So have to keep an eye on the Minnesota Twins. Nothing's going to be handed to your San Diego Padres down the stretch. We'll have more on the matchup against the Twins, the weekend series coming up on the program tomorrow. All of our baseball talk on 97.3 The Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It's 1 week from today that the first game of the NFL season will take place, with the Philadelphia Eagles playing. Who are they playing in the Dallas Cowboys, right? Yeah, in the season opener on Thursday Night Football, 1 week from tonight.
Drama going on with the Dallas Cowboys.
There is. We haven't talked about it much.
We haven't at all.
You have a
really
visceral, like, you don't want to be like every other sports talk show, which means you can never talk about
Cowboys.
The Cowboys,
yeah,
because they all always talk about the Cowboys. So you like actively avoid any Cowboys talk.
Yeah, I do.
I don't think you've heard the name Micah Parsons mentioned on our show
once.
I just said it.
No.
But Jerry Jones is entertainingly hilarious
as
an owner.
Right? If we were in Dallas, that's we would do. That's all we would do is talk about it for 4 hours a day, every single day. They have that new Netflix thing that is running right now. It's like a look back, but it's also a look. Is it current? Like the current things that are currently happening. It's not just a nostalgia thing. But I'm interested to see that. That was a fun time living in Texas during that time. That was a blast. Certainly no shortage of stuff to talk about.
I don't know. I think the Cowboys are one of 32 NFL teams.
Bro, literally.
The Chargers are one of 32 NFL teams.
They haven't done a flipping
thing
in years.
There's no reason the Cowboys should have any outsized attention.
No.
They have a larger fan base for sure. But here in San Diego, yeah, there's some Cowboys fans here. There are some Chargers fans still here.
Yep.
There's Raiders fans here. There are 49ers fans here. There are Rams fans here. There are Chiefs fans here. There are Steelers fans here. There are Packers fans here.
Do every team. There are Jaguars fans here.
There are Giants fans here.
There are Panthers
there are Jets fans
here. Yes.
There are Titans fans here.
He's just going all the way across.
Who are we supposed to talk about?
All
I don't know.
Them. All of them, apparently.
So we don't really, unless something really interesting happens, we just kind of let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about them more, obviously, as the season gets started.
I'm excited for the season to start. I get excited every year for the NFL season to start. It's fun. I like watching NFL.
I like the Rhino Report. Paulie's got a limited amount of time.
Since when? Yeah, sounds like it.
Sounds like it.
Get to it right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rhino Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rhino Report with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Thursday, gentlemen.
A for all right.
Let's start, have a little football real quick here. I just saw this story yesterday, actually. In the NFL, you know, there's been a lot of talk this week about Travis. Big week for Travis.
Yeah,
but I'm actually not talking about Travis Kelce.
No.
Finally, we're talking about another Travis. We were talking about Travis Hunter, who has also had a lot of people talking about him recently through college, into the draft, and now through training camp, as we are just, 7 days away from the start of the NFL season, as you mentioned. Now, that is interesting. Travis Hunter, he's had a lot of cameras in his face, a lot of people watching his every move, and yet somehow has still been able to surprise people with some things in his personal life. He got drafted, he got married, like, very shortly after, and everyone's like, oh, okay. Of course, everybody had some thoughts on that. And last night, him and his wife, Leanna De La Fuente, they announced the birth of their baby boy.
Did not know that they were having a child. Congratulations.
A lot of people did not know that. And I think, you know what? I think when you have that high of a profile, if you can keep something like that under wraps, good on you if that's how you choose to do it.
I'm really stoked to watch that unfold. Just talking about the NFL storylines. How
that's
much?
One?
Like
absolutely.
That's absolutely one. How is he going to be able to do this? You know, and
yeah.
Many people that have done it at the highest level said, "Bro, this ain't college. Like, this is not college." This
I just wanted different. To congratulate Travis Hunter and his wife on the birth of their baby, because would it surprise you to know that the internet had a lot of opinions and thoughts on? Oh my God, bro! Your career just started. What are you thinking?
Such as oh yeah.
So, well, yeah, such
as that.
Such as it's not going to last.
Hey, man, like, you're tied to that girl for another 18 years now. Well, they're married.
Yeah, they're married.
So he's at least, they both have tied themselves to each other for a long time. Everybody had opinions, and I'm like, man, just say congratulations.
Satan Blowfish says, is he playing two-way in the NFL? Yes, he is, right?
That's the plan.
To start.
The amount is still kind of in question, what the Jags are going to do. It seems like he's going to play more on defense
and really good.
Some on offense. He
absolutely
wants to play.
A storyline, though.
He wants to be an every-down player on both sides of the ball. I don't see that happening on the NFL level. But
enjoy your
we'll see.
One-year career, two-year career. I mean, it really is crazy to think about at that level, even attempting that. But it'll be fun to watch.
Absolutely. So congratulations to them. Yeah, they put out a video, just said, Dear Son, on their YouTube channel. And that was the announcement.
Excellent.
And it was really cool. She they found out in late March that they were pregnant, but she documented a month prior to that, back in February, she said she had a dream. That she had a baby boy, and she wrote in her notes app, and it's documented on the video I watched, it's only a couple minutes. Her notes app said February 28th, 2/28 dream, and it was like, you were a baby boy, you had curly hair, and then a month later, they found out she was pregnant with a baby boy.
Nice.
Thought that was
nice.
Really cool. It is a lot. I mean, new parent, learned an offense, learned a defense. It's a lot going on in his life right now.
100%.
No doubt.
All right, finally, I thought we could maybe get a little bit zen here for this last story. I saw this. There is a researcher at the University of Bristol over in the UK, Dr. Natalie. She has created a song.
That's her first name or last name?
Dr. Natalie
H Natalie.
Something.
Okay. Dr. Natalie.
H like Hawktua.
Okay. H like Hawktua. H as in Hawktua. Yeah.
And so she has created a song that she believes makes chocolate taste better when listening to it.
Okay. Hmm.
She has reviewed 60 years of scientific research on multisensory integration and composed music around, quote, sonic qualities proven to affect flavor, like pitch, tempo, and harmony. This song is called Sweetest Melody. It's 64 seconds long, which is, they say, the amount of time for chocolate to melt in your mouth.
Not in your hand.
Now, did you guys you got your homework? Yeah. I got you a
thin
little
candy
little
shell.
Milk chocolate M&M.
All right, ready? Start the song.
I don't usually eat these, so. Right.
Yeah,
we're very healthy here.
Are you sucking on it, or are you going to bite it?
Gotta let it melt.
Okay. The suck on it.
Through the candy shell first.
Dylan Thief. Sucked on M&M's.
I'm very skeptical here.
Does it taste better?
It's pretty good. It's an M&M.
Actually,
it's a beautiful song.
A little more chocolatey than usual.
Can I bite it finally, please?
Oh, it's supposed to take the time to melt.
No, it's
really
caved.
Okay, it's so good. Mm. Man, it's the best M&M I've ever had.
It really is, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not an M&M person.
Well, I don't savor them one by one.
Right.
Ever.
You know what? I'm gonna say she nailed it. That's pretty good.
That's a really tasty M&M.
Can you send me that clip? Because I'm going to need that anytime I eat chocolate.
That's
now, just
really?
In case.
Carlos says you can get the same effect listening to Creed.
Can we get songs for other foods? Like Woods needs a banana pudding song.
Yes, and, of course.
You know.
That's Lubega. It's great for that, I heard. Mambo what's, number five.
What song makes pulled pork taste good?
Let's see. Pulled pork. Leonard Skinner. Sweet Home Alabama. I mean, it just slides right down the gullet. You're good to go.
I don't think anything's going to make kale taste better.
No,
but, I mean,
no. Throwing it away makes it taste better every single time. Man, that was a really good M&M.
I think it worked.
I think it did too. Dr. Natalie, who decides that that's her field of study? That's wild. Sensory, what's it called?
What was that?
What's the field again?
It was multisensory integration.
I'm a big fan of multi-sensory. I like that. I like all the feelings.
Oh, yeah.
All five of your senses at once.
You hate all of them.
I want one sense at a time. don't overwhelm my senses.
All right. Well, we're about to, with the round table.
We're about to experience the scent of pizza as we walk over for our round table. Do not go away. We'll talk Padres baseball commercial free for the next hour. Coming up next, Rapali and Woods. This show starts tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.